It's time for us to hear God's word today. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20.
At the time, the Roman Empire Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken where Quirinius, the governor of Syria, all returned to their own towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to earth, of all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child, just as the angels said. Glory be to God.
Let's pray. Father, speak to us today, we pray. We need to hear you. We need to see you. We need to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. I came across this week a different set of Christian ingredients. Christmas ingredients, rather. Ingredients. Number one is you. Any shape, size, or age is perfect. Ingredient number two is a moment for reflection. Number three ingredient is Jesus. So here's the recipe. Number one, stop. Number two, breathe. Number three, lift your eyes. Number four, put down your worries. Number five, lay aside your context and conditions. And number six, remember that you are loved beyond measure. Mary took the things that she had received, and she treasured them. She pondered them deeply in her heart. The shepherds got very excited, and they ran out and they told everybody the news, and it was all so exciting for them. Mary was quieter. Now, at Christmas, I think sometimes as Christians, we can often feel almost a pressure. We ought to be spreading the good news at Christmas. Well, it's a great idea to spread the good news. We still have 4 packs of envelopes here that weren't taken last week. It would be wonderful if at 12:30 today, all of these have gone. The message about what's going on here over Christmas time gets out to the local community. It would be great this week if we could grab the opportunities to talk about Jesus, to tell people why he is so wonderful and so important. And yet, I can't help feeling that for most of us, the most important work for us to do this Christmas is to slow down, try to stop stressing. That's hard to say. Try to stop stressing and ponder deeply the things that we are celebrating this Christmas time. Mary knew that God had favored her. And we know that God has favored us. And even as I say that, I guess that in many of our minds there are all sorts of thoughts that are flying around trying to distract us from that thought. But God has favored us. God has come into this world to live amongst us. And perhaps the most worthy thing that we can do this Christmas is to think about it. And to let these truths go deep within us. And as we do that, we find that we begin to get to know the heart of God better. Mary knew a lot about God's heart before she gave birth to the Lord. There's this fantastic poem that she recites in Luke chapter 1, and she has incredible ideas about what he's going to do. God is going to change the social order. God's going to tear down governments, and God's going to bring them up. Oh, there's a text for an election week. God is going to bless the poor. He's going to raise up the poor, and he's going to send away the oppressive rich empty. And yet, for all these dreams that she has, and she hasn't let go of these dreams for one moment, she's found that the birth of Jesus wasn't quite as she expected it to be. And she realized she'd been given this incredible treasure. And the idea behind the word is like of holding on to something that you will not let go of. And I believe that our community, our world this Christmas needs to see Christian believers who are not so much going out and blabbing the good news to everybody, although please don't be put off from talking about Jesus, but who've actually let the words of God go deep into our hearts. On the other hand, if you want a materialistic Christmas and you have lots of money, the most expensive Advent calendar that is on sale this year comes from Beaverbrooks. You may have heard about this. The cost of this Advent calendar, somebody smiled, I won't ask if you got one. The cost of this Advent calendar is £100,000, and there is a gemstone behind each of the windows. Until it eventually reaches the last window with the value gradually going up as you go through the windows, until on the last day, there is a platinum diamond solitaire ring behind that last window that is worth £26,000. Now, I'm sure none of us will have an Advent calendar that's anything like that, but it points to something of this is Christmas. I was listening on the radio and people were debating whether this was moral or immoral. And the general conclusion was that if you could afford it, it was absolutely fine to spend £100,000 on an Advent calendar. It points to a materialistic way of doing Christmas. Of course, the church's traditional way of looking forward to Christmas has not been to open a window every day. It's been to light candles. And in a society where Christmas gets celebrated earlier, it seems, every year, and finishes on Christmas Day rather than starting on Christmas Day, perhaps it's easy to lose the significance of a couple of candles shining. Because the original idea, as I understand it, you know, the Christmas tree wouldn't yet be up. The decorations wouldn't yet be up. It would be dark. We're heading into the darkest time of the year. And in the church, one light shining, and then two, and then three, and then four, and then the big Christmas Day candle, and then the lights are on. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness never puts it out. And our treasure, which we must not lose from our heart, is all to do with this baby born in a manger, who is the bright shining light in the dark places of the world. It's a treasure that amazes. Angels keep cropping up as Luke tells the story, talking to various people. A bright sky of God's people, God's heavenly host, celebrating what God has done. Shepherds coming in from the field. A virgin birth. Mary, I don't know what thoughts were going through her head, but I guess wondering what on earth was going on, that the world was as it is. And a treasure despite appearances. And this, I think, may be the main thing that I want to say today, that we have to learn to treasure everything that God has done in a world that is pointing us in another direction. Go back to the first century. Matthew and Luke, who tell the Christmas story, are very keen to put it in the middle of the politics of the day. The nation of Israel was under enemy occupation. They were heavenly taxed. They had had dreams of what their nation was meant to be. But the truth was, it was nowhere near. If the authorities decree a census, you have a census. If they decree that you have to travel, you have to travel. Mary worshipped God in the reality of how things were, and they were not good. When Mary praises God in Luke chapter 1 and she talks about God bringing down empires, it was because she knew that there was an empire that was wrecking things for her nation and that needed to be brought down. When she spoke about the rich and the poor, it was because many people were in poverty and the rich people were acting as if nothing mattered. And when Jesus is born, well, here's the strange thing, that Jesus is born and laid in a manger, possibly in the stable, but certainly laid in a manger, and Jesus is born there and placed there. But the angel chorus is not in the stable. The angel chorus is out on the fields. The angel chorus isn't quite where the Son of God is born. And I wonder if any of us today are feeling like that as we come up to Christmas. Yeah, there's something great that's going on here, but the angels seem to be speaking to somebody else instead of to me. I wonder if some of us are thinking, yeah, it's a great truth, and in theory I believe it, but it's not quite connecting to me this Christmas. But Mary listens to what the angels have said. She hears the report and she sees what's happened in her own life. And she believes it and she treasures it. Brothers and sisters, this is vital work for us to be doing this Christmas time. If you feel that the joy of Christmas is being knocked out of you by all the stuff that's going on around, take a moment. Take time to breathe. Take time to think. Take time to recognize that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. This is not about us saying everything in the world's okay. Everything in the world is not okay. We face huge issues in our world. We're messing up the climate. We have huge gaps between rich and poor. And all the statistics in our country say that the gap between rich and poor is increasing. This is 21st century Britain, and we have food banks because people do not have the money to go out and buy the food that they need. God have mercy on us. And as Christians, we feel the pain of the world as it is, just like Mary did. And we feel it and we want to do something about it. We want to take action. But in the middle of seeing the world as it is, in all its reality, with the huge problems that we are facing, and we could just give a whole list of them today, facing the world as it is, as Mary did, the key to Mary's joy today is that she is pondering deeply the message that Jesus has come. You know, many years ago, there was a man called William Wilberforce, and he was at the forefront of the churches, well, not the churches, but of the campaign to abolish slavery. He looked out at slavery and he realized that the people who tried to use the Bible to justify it were talking absolute nonsense. He realized that and he started to campaign to get things changed. And at one point, somebody called him a fanatic. And he said, "If to be feelingly alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures is to be a fanatic, I am one of the most incurable fanatics ever permitted to be at large." You know, when I read that quote this week, I thought, well, if he was an incurable fanatic by that definition, then God is an incurable fanatic. Because God sees the pain of our world. And he comes and he lives with us and he lives in us today. And he is, to use Wilberforce's wonderful phrase, feelingly alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures. Today, if you are suffering, God is feelingly alive to how you are. Now, that doesn't mean things are okay. It's not an excuse for us to leave the world as it is. It's not an excuse to say we can do what we like. But it's saying God is with us. Emmanuel. Even now, the love of God is here. And if the fact that we are feeling troubled, if the fact that we are feeling that life is tough, make us think that the world is a dark place, then maybe in the end that can be a good thing. As another quote, this is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up against the Nazis in Germany in World War II. "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. And we get troubled. We know ourselves to be imperfect. But the hope of Jesus is here. And we are to treasure this hope. And we are to ponder deeply on this hope. And one other thought from this passage that I want to bring this morning. The shepherds leave the manger and they go back to where they had come from. They go back to a place of work. And that was where the Lord spoke to them. You see, if Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, then God is with us everywhere. And he can speak to us in this week, in the normal things that we do, every bit as much as he can speak to us here. One of the reasons that we want, well, I'm suggesting take time, think about this, ponder it, is not necessarily because at that moment God's going to say something, but because it will open you out so that when God does speak, you can be attentive and you can be ready for what he has to say. They were out in the fields doing what they normally did, and God came and spoke to them, as God did to many people in Scripture. Whether like Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, it was kind of religious work, or whether it was somebody like Matthew just collecting the taxes, as he always did. Whether it was Peter going out fishing, whether it was Gideon threshing the harvest, or Moses who was out with his sheep. And Moses noticed something. He noticed a burning bush and he went over and he had a look. And these shepherds, on a totally normal night, suddenly found the extraordinary breaking into their lives. Whatever you're doing this week, it could be the ordinary place where God wants to do something extraordinary. It could be the place where God wants to speak to you. And that's why I'm saying, ponder this Christmas message deeply. Read it. Maybe don't read it once. Read it several times. Take time. Be quiet afterwards. Sure, there's 101 other things that you're doing, but you're training yourself to listen to what God has to say. And in the darkness, we see the light. We don't have a pie in the sky, everything is beautiful attitude towards the world, because we know it's not. But we believe that in the darkest places, the light of God is shining. And those places include where we go. Those places include the places where we earn our living, where we take our leisure. We wait. We work with hope inside of the darkness. And we never doubt that God is light working within us too. So, here's the ingredients. You. A moment for reflection. Jesus. And the directions, stop, breathe, lift up your eyes, put down your worries, lay aside your context and conditions, and remember that you are loved beyond measure.